Hey, do you like Bad Boys? Do you like touching them and rubbing yourself on them? And do you like looking at them do bad boy stuff? This is the movie for you. Because this is a movie where someone dates a bad boy because they have to, but they also want to.
That's so stupid. No, that
Was that okay?
was perfect.
had the same like energy that she has talking to men in the movie.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas. We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Hello and welcome to Netflixmas. It is a podcast about Christmas romance movies on various streaming platforms. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
And I'm the other host, Holly Cuomo.
Hi, Holly Cuomo.
Hi, Scarlett Alexandra.
Are you excited about today's episode?
You know what? I kind of am because I've seen this movie too many times and I burned myself out on it again.
Didn't you just say that you didn't like this movie? Why did you?
I didn't. I'm excited to talk about it, but yeah, no, after watching it 4 times this year, I'm
Okay, well,
mostly
yeah, 4 times is excessive.
gonna.
I like this movie. It's called Christmas Catch. And if you heard that cute little giggle, we have a guest today, Glenn Rose, who
Hello.
is a comedian of Austin and host of shows.
Oh yeah, when shows were happening, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 6 months ago I was the host of a show.
Yeah, weren't we all? Actually, yeah,
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But yeah, Glenn, how did you feel about this cinema masterpiece?
I really like bad movies a lot, like but this was I almost unwatchable. I had a really hard time. Like it was so unwatchable, my brain was losing information about the movie as I was watching it. Like, it was trying to defend itself.
Yeah, a lot of my notes are just questions.
It hit a lot of a very like similar beats, I think, that a lot of these kind of movies hit. You know, it's dead parents, clumsy leading lady, a dude who has no personality other than that he's into her
And hot.
and hot.
So
So
hot. Oh, so hot.
a misunderstanding, a sad montage. Ooh, a dressing up montage,
Yep, they
also
had
one of my
that.
favorites. One thing that they are missing that I didn't, that I, this is one of my favorite things. As if anybody listens to this podcast, if like one of 30 people who listen to this podcast, I very much like the dress reveal. Like there's usually the final scene where there's like a Christmas banquet or whatever, and then she like puts on this gorgeous dress and she walks slowly in, and the guy's like, oh, she's the one. Oh, and it's so wonderful and magical. But they didn't have that moment here. They had kind of a moment
I was about
at
to
the
say, I was like, I don't
beginning.
remember a big dress moment in the movie. I thought it
No.
was just like me in a fugue state.
Oh man. But yeah, let's get into it, I guess.
Yeah, this came out in 2018 and it is streaming on Amazon Prime, and I am IMDb at the moment, and it
You
got a
are DB?
IMDb, yeah.
Oh my God, you're DB?
Yeah.
I've been
Yep.
looking for you.
I'm here, baby. Oh God, it's got a 5.6 out of 10. Really?
That's generous.
That's
Should I rate this? Ooh, I'll give it a 6. Nope, I have to
generous.
sign in. Nope. I recognized the hottie boom body, Franco Lopresti, aka Carson from Letterkenny. Also, my dreams. Ugh, God, he was so hot.
Could they have made his name more Italian, do you think? Do you think his parents could have thought of a more Italian name than, rather than like Tony Spaghetti? Like,
Oh,
what
hey, you did see my show last year.
if.
Oh, I wish I was joking. Anyway,
Oh, he was in Schitt's Creek also. I mean, yeah, he's definitely a Canadian actor.
That's really surprising to me.
No, I noticed because he said sorry few times.
They film all these movies in Canada and then just pretend it's the U.S. because of What's Her Bitch, the main girl, Emily Alitalo. She said sorry and a boot and shit like that. I was like, oh, this is a Canadian movie.
But I guess- She looks like the romantic comedy version of like, you know, the Deschanel sister that's not Zoe, the other one. The one in Bones.
Emily.
Bones.
Bones? Deschanel?
Yeah, no, she's in the show Bones.
Oh! I thought you said her name was Bones.
Yeah, her name's Bones Deschanel.
Well, you're talking about Emily Deschanel. Her name is also Emily. Emily Alitalo.
Yeah, she was really, she is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, she's super cute.
She was super beautiful. And what I appreciated about this actress is, like, she's gorgeous, but plays awkward flawlessly. It's not just, like, some, like, Megan Fox character just, like, being like, oh, I tripped. Oops. Excuse me. I am an awkward person now. But also, ooh. Okay, audiences can't see this, but I'm making sexy faces. Ooh. Ah. Ooh, I'm so awkward. Anyway,
sexy awkward,
but she was like actually awkward, like it was,
it's always that in these movies. It's like the whole like redeeming factor of the lady in the movies is like she doesn't know how to walk. It's always the same. She's just like falling over stuff all the time, like she's Mr. Bean. That's what men want. They don't want girlfriends, they want Mr. Bean.
Ooh, I love a lady who walks like a newborn giraffe.
This is...
I love a Paddington ass bitch.
Paddington ass.
Yeah, you know, like Paddington Bear is always clumsy and goofy and like real dumb, but also very cute.
I've never seen like, that movie.
Oh like, my gosh, Glenn.
That's Paddington what everyone says.
Paddington 2 are actually really freaking good movies.
I didn't see it because it looked like it was for babies.
My husband in the back is like, they are.
But they are very highly reviewed. I haven't seen
Paddington 2.
They have like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Yeah, Paddington 2 is a prison break movie.
Real what?
Yeah.
What does he go to jail for? Murder?
I think he goes to jail for something really, I think stealing. And then
it's a sex crime.
Is it like a commentary on like the modern incarceration system and how it's like a system?
He gets shot at the end of the movie.
Well, everything works out.
He gets shot at the beginning of the movie.
But he's made of fluff, so he survives.
Yeah, he's fine.
I don't know how he's a talking... Well, they explain why he's a talking bear, but...
Oh, that's right. He's an actual bear.
I'm glad they explained it. Because... like, it couldn't just be a talking bear. They're like, no, we have to tell you why.
I forgot that he's like a real bear, not a stuffed bear like in the book. But anyway, we're talking about a different movie right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called...
See, that's how much I want to forget this movie. I was about to talk about a movie I haven't seen.
So, Janelle Williams plays Agent Robert... Sin.
Oh, she was gorgeous.
She was in the Holiday Calendar. She was the sister in the Holiday Calendar.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, she is.
And her IMDb photo is
Wow, her IMDb photo is good.
Yeah, she almost looks like Vanessa Williams. Is she related to Vanessa Williams? Because her last name is Williams too, but she's Canadian.
Oh yeah, and she was the one who was in a movie called Christmas Shoes.
Yeah.
Magic. Oh, like the song?
Oh, no, wait. A pair of magical shoes step into Noelle's holiday season, allowing her to rediscover the spirit of Christmas and find love, too. All right, so not like shoes, this song.
I love when shoes do that.
I love
a good shoe-based movie. Yeah, Wizard of Oz, Like Mike, Holes. All movies.
Oh, my God, you listed those so fast.
Yeah, I thought of them all right there.
That was just like top of mind for you.
So Eric Hicks, who plays David the Safecracker, was also
that guy. That was so funny. They're like, he's a notorious safecracker. Like that's all his job. Like how do they know him just for that, not for stealing stuff? He's the best safecracker we've got.
He was also in Christmas Wedding Planner, which I still maintain is the worst movie that we've ever seen.
Awful. The name is really bad.
It's on Netflix if you want to like torture yourself.
I might, after I'm done recovering from this one, try to go through physical therapy after watching this movie.
Physical therapy?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry. Oh my God. I'm so sorry to interrupt everything, but I have to stop everything. The mom, the captain?
Yeah, Lauren Holly.
was the main lady in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
She's oh, that's how she looks familiar
in this movie.
They said the trailer that one of the guys is from like Gilmore Girls or something.
Yannick Truesdale. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. Like, this guy from Gilmore Girls stars in this, and I was like, I don't think he starred in it really.
No, he was like a. At first, I thought it was going to be like one of those like triangle romances where, you know, they've been friends forever. And everybody knows that they kind of like each other. But then this other guy comes in and then she like falls for him, but then realizes she's actually in love with her best friend kind of situation. But it was not that.
They set
it would have made more sense.
Yeah. The way that the poster looks, like the full ass poster, it looks like there's like a love triangle situation.
Oh yeah, because all three of them are on it.
Yeah. But the dude is just like another cop.
That's so weird.
I hate that.
The police chief room was killing me every time they'd be in that room where it just looks like the inside of a Christmas store, like the police chief lady. It's just like, it's just covered in shit.
I wonder, because I mean, that was like a theme throughout the movie, is like how much everybody loves Christmas decorations except for the FBI lady. But it must have been kind of fun being a set decorator for that.
It's probably a pretty easy job. You just go keep putting Christmas stuff up.
But it does take a certain eye to like make Christmas decorations look classy instead of like trashy. Yes. You know, it's a very fine line, says the woman with actual Christmas lights in my background that aren't in season.
I did get a free Christmas tree today.
You did?
Yeah, I got a free Christmas tree today.
And a live one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like a fake one.
A fake
one. You gotta go fake.
Yeah. No, I don't. I can't. Look, I water my dogs. I barely water my plants. I'm not going to like remember to water a Christmas tree. Also, it's poisonous to dogs. So,
is it?
Yeah, live Christmas trees, they're not good for pets because they'll like drink the pine water and they'll die.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's what I read. I could be wrong, but I'm not risking it.
Just in case.
Let's see. Is that all the cast?
Let's go with the director. Who the fuck directed this?
Justin D. Dick. Justin D.
Oh my god, did he do that? Christmas with a Prince?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I feel like I've heard of that movie.
It's awful. It's also on... Oh no, okay. So, he did do Christmas with a Prince. Uh-huh. He did Christmas with a View.
Christmas from the Rockies.
My Perfect Romance, Christmas Wedding Planner. Oh my god, he did Christmas Wedding Planner also.
No, oh, so this is like his thing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this is his whole life. So this is his life's work.
There's a lot of Christmas movies.
What is My Dad is Scrooge? I need to see that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I want to see Super Detention. It said he directed that. It looks really bad.
It does look really bad.
X-Men Meets the Breakfast Club. No thank you. You could not make me want to watch a movie less than that description.
Hold on. The description of My Dad is Scrooge is A Christmas Carol turns into A Christmas Chorale. As animals of the Woodsley farm help Oliver and his little sister June stage the classic tale to shock their dad into embracing the spirit of the holiday.
Well, it is on it's on Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Tubi for free.
I love the idea of having a dad that, like, you're a little kid, you have a dad who's like, fuck Christmas. I hope no animals talk to me about it. That'll change my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that this is his thing, because I was even wondering, like, there were so many beats of this movie that were just so typically done, but I was like, there's got to be like a director or writer. I was like, well, this is the part of the movie where they have to act sad, and we're just gonna have like 4 to 5 different like short scenes of them being sad with music over it.
He directed a movie called Pony Sitters Club. The big
I saw horror. That. I saw that listed in his shit. I thought that was odd. My question is, what is a pony sitter? Is it what I think it is?
Maybe.
Like somebody just sits on a pony?
Yeah, just sit on a pony.
Yeah, just... This movie did feel like... It felt like every beat of it was like I'd seen the movie already, but also I was like frightened by it. Yeah. It was like a traumatic thing I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, this would definitely, because for the Christmas bingo, this would definitely, you would fill up all the squares real fast.
Well,
I guess let's go ahead and dive into the plot if there's nothing else spicy about the behind the scenes, which I'm not seeing anything, because I don't think anybody actually cares about this movie, not even the actors.
They're all method acting the entire time. They told them all to pretend like it was Christmas. They actually filmed this movie in July.
Probably.
One of the little kid that they talked to was actually Daniel Day-Lewis, who was in character as a 7-year-old.
I'm going to read the Prime summary real fast before Scarlett gets into the whole plot. Detective Mackenzie Bennett is a smart and tough detective who loves Christmas. When she meets Carson, Mills, he's handsome, chivalrous, and loves Christmas too. But when the FBI asks for her precinct's help with a diamond theft, she discovers that Carson is their lead suspect. When they send Mac to investigate Carson up close, things get complicated.
Ew. So, something I'm confused about with the movie too is, like, doesn't he have another job in it, or say that he has another job?
Oh my god, I know, and they never tell us what the job is.
And also, like, who's a jewel thief but also, like, working at Starbucks? Like, who the fuck's doing that? He's stealing jewels at night, like Mission Impossible, and he's like, all right, I gotta go file some paperwork tomorrow. I feel like the jewels would be enough.
I think
what his job is.
I don't think they said.
They don't say at all. Mm-mm. And I think the stupidity lies with the captain, because at the end, sorry, spoiler, I'm gonna spoil it, I don't care. So we find out at the end the FBI agent is actually like the OG jewel thief. But she, like, came in and, like, ordered the captain and the police department around to, like, track this guy who's, like, her ex-husband.
It kind of just came out of nowhere. I was so confused.
That happened at the end. Like, the Safecracker was also a very good document forger, and he, like, forged documents.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he's like, they talk about him like a Safecracker, but he's good at all of the crimes.
Yeah.
He's just like a criminal. He's good at all the stuff.
I mean, you know, if you're good at one art form, then you can probably do some others.
Yeah. It's like when a guy that's in a cool band is also a good actor. You know what I mean? It's like, of course you can do that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and go beat by beat on this one. Just going from the very, very top, they actually had like beginning credits, which was kind of neat.
Nice.
Where they had like showed the people's names before the movie started, which has kind of gone out of vogue. So
you don't really see that anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I was surprised the movie is from 2018. It feels like it's from 2001.
Yeah. Oh, very easily. So I guess it starts out and we're seeing a Christmas fair, and the main lady, whose name is Mac?
Yeah, Mackenzie Bennett.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I should probably remember that. Mac, this police detective, is dressed up as an elf, and she's on a stakeout with her partner, who's dressed up as Santa for zero reason, inside of a van, and through an earpiece, he's dressed as Santa in the van because he's feeding her information, but why is he dressed as Santa?
I think it's because they were switching out. Like, she would do a little shift out at this donation table, and then he would do a shift.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because he's a man, he has to be Santa. So he can't be an elf, a sexy
Manta?
Elf.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be so funny for that guy being your Santa. Just like an attractive younger man.
I'd sit next
to him. He's just wearing a beard. He's not like an old white man. It's like, yeah, this is your Santa kid, whatever, who cares?
Well, there was another movie that we watched where like they were working at like a Santa Land scenario, and the main romantic interest is like a 17-year-old kid who was playing like a handsome, chiseled 17-year-old kid who was playing a Santa Claus. It's like, okay. Anyway. You know, it's loose with these movies. There's a loose definition of Santa Claus. Oh man, the phrase, I'm freezing my jingle bells out here.
That's so stupid.
It's real good. And he's basically, so one thing that happens throughout this movie is just her friend, her partner Reed, and actually all of her friends and her mom just constantly neg her about how like awkward she is and how bad at flirting she is. And so again, so they're, the guy that they're staking out is about to leave, and he's like, oh, you gotta go flirt with him to make him stay. Like, that's the only, like, thing that she can do to make this guy stay here. And so she, like, goes up to him, does, like, a little sexy walk, and then is really, really bad at flirting and flicks her tongue out a lot.
Yeah, does she, like, lick her teeth or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's he's like, lick your lips, and she starts licking her bottom lips, and he's like, no, lick your top lips, and she's just, like, overdoing it. Like,
I love the idea of someone that hot not knowing how to talk to anybody. Yes. It's like, yeah, that happens for sure. A lady that's that hot and a cop also. Why are they putting her on undercover missions if she can't speak to men?
So throughout the movie, we see that she has zero ability to lie.
Yeah.
And she's their undercover. She's like, I'm a cop, by the way.
How can Sorry. She be so shitty at lying? She's a cop. They should know how to do that.
I mean, yeah, they lie to themselves every day. Anyway, so yeah, so she's really bad at flirting. And because of that, he pretty much just figures out that she's a cop and then runs away, you know, hopefully because she's a cop and not just because she's super awkward, but probably a little bit of both. And so there's a fun little chase. She tackles him in a back alley toy drive. I don't know if you noticed that, but there was like a toy drive scenario, but it was definitely in an alley.
Yeah.
And then as they're cuffing the dude, Reed's cuffing him. And I guess he like broke the dude's arm. As he's like breaking this guy's arm, like a little kid comes around the corner and they're like, Santa!
No, Mac broke his arm when she tackled him. And she was like so proud of herself. She's like, oh, you're not in pain. Just get up, you little bitch. And she really did break his like arm or shoulder or something.
Oh, okay. Then we're introduced to the captain,
yeah,
who is the mom.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't want to work for my
it didn't,
mom.
It didn't make any sense. Like, yeah. It's just like, oh, my boss is my mom. It's like, you're putting a lot of stuff in this movie.
I think it was convenient from, like, a writer's perspective to make them the same person. So then they didn't have to, like, you know, have two other people negging her about how terrible it dating she is.
Yeah, they were like, how can we get her mom to bother her at work and it makes sense? Oh, let's just make her mom her boss.
Yeah.
Hated it.
This is like the show Blue Bloods, but you know, like, the whole family's cops.
They never talk about the dad, but I guess we just assume that he's dead.
Yeah.
There's another cop.
Just in a different precinct.
Yeah, he goes to a different school.
So basically this beginning scene where the captain mom is talking to her daughter and the partner, they're just like completely just like making fun of her and roasting her for being bad at flirting and dating and having terrible fashion sense, and like it's like really toxic.
Yeah, they are just like, yeah, you're kind of a dumb bitch, huh? So what's going on with you, dumbass? Look at you, Mrs. I can't get laid.
I did keep thinking throughout the whole movie, I was like, how is she that hot and not know how to get laid?
Wendy's a self-fulfilling prophecy, like at this point, because like she's 32. She's had this mom who's been her boss and this like partner for a while. What if they're the ones who just keep telling her that she's terrible and she just believes it? This is what happens when you have toxic friendships, okay?
That's true.
They don't even encourage her. They're just like, well, you're gonna be bad at it anyway.
Yeah, you suck at dating, right? And she's like, I don't know. I've never gone on a date.
But if there is a listener out there who hasn't seen this movie, it's all of this is actually put into a friendly context and not in the way that I'm saying it particularly, but it is that.
I guess to be fair, this is how I talk to all of my friends. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like hung out with us, we're really mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, that's just stand-up people in general.
Yeah. Like, my roommates, me and my roommate Andrew are super mean to our roommate Evan. Just like all the time. We have a nice bit going where we said he wants to marry Ken Jennings from Jeopardy, and we just keep bringing that one up. Because he just said something about Ken Jennings one time.
Oh man, oh I do not miss having roommates. Oh my god. That's got to be a nightmare. Yeah, I was the youngest sibling, so I was nagged on all the time. I'm good. I'm an adult now. I'm fine. Just boost me up. Tell me I'm pretty. Come on.
Oh, you want us to do it now?
Yeah.
You're so beautiful.
Yeah, Thank you, Holly. It's so sincere. Yeah, you know
what Holly said.
You guys are too much. Yeah. You're just showering me with compliments, and I appreciate that.
Whatever Holly said, I wasn't listening after you said, please tell me I'm pretty. I felt like I was watching the movie again. My brain just shut off in self-defense.
You know what? If I have positive fake friends over negging real friends, then... You know,
I just did it. I just did the thing that you were talking. I was just rude to someone I'm friends with. I can't even stop myself from doing it.
Oh, man. No, that's great. That was perfect. Okay, so anyway, so she goes to his Christmas singles mixer and at a coffee shop, I guess, at nighttime.
God, that's such the saddest place in the world. A singles mixer around Christmas at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And they should just sell loaded guns outside of it. It's like you guys know what this is. Who are you going to meet here? Another 40-year-old who doesn't know how to date people? Yeah. Ooh. It should be called, I hope you're ready to settle, the social meeting.
Yeah, and they're all drinking fancy hot chocolates. And they're all extremely attractive.
Yeah.
And she goes to meet her friend, who is gorgeous.
Yeah, another friend of color. Best friend of color.
But she had some good personality. Like
she was great.
She had some good little snippies here.
She had
a
really shitty pickup line. But
oh my god. Oh, hold on. I think I wrote it down.
Are you Christmas because I want to marry you?
Yeah, that was real good.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she said that. She's like, are you Christmas? Because I want to marry you.
That's what I want to do to Christmas. I want to marry you. I want to go to the city hall and sign some contract for Christmas.
share taxes and debts with them.
I've been clicking on these actors' pages when we bring them up, and they are all Canadian. Every one of them has been Canadian.
Yeah, it's a Canadian movie.
Yeah, because instead it was on Up TV. I've never heard of that before.
So Up TV is like the Christian... It's like the Canadian Christian... Hallmark?
I'm sorry, this is a whole thing, huh?
Yeah, no, Up is a whole channel. So Naughty and Nice was an Up movie. I think a couple of other things we've watched were Up movies. A couple of things we will watch. Yeah, it's just like the Christian, very GPG romance channel up in Canada.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, because, you know, now that you say that, I see it. It did feel vaguely Christian. Like, there's something about it that felt like Christian theater kids all made this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always slip in a line here and there about, I don't know, like who, if there is a villain, then the villain hates Christmas because of religion and not because it's joyful. Like, which the FBI agent / Bethany says, almost, up top. And you're like, oh, she's a bad person.
She's like, I'm an atheist, by the way.
I was about to say that. It's like, ooh, she's an atheist.
She's like, flagrant displays of religion. It's like, oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah, I'm picturing everyone in this movie now being like, oh, sorry, you haven't found the saving power of Christ.
Oh, man. Okay, so we're at this Christmas mixer. She definitely says that her partner, even though he's cute, is like a brother, which is, again, why I thought they were setting up the love triangle. But that was just dropped entirely. Apparently, at this Christmas mixer, all the guys are staying together and all the girls are staying together, and they aren't actually mixing.
I don't understand that, because I'd be all up in those dudes.
Yeah, those are some.
But she said her partner was like her brother.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay, and that's Reed, right? Once again, I get all the men in this movie mixed up. I like to imagine she was just being racist when she said that. She was like, him. He's like, my brother. You know?
I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, the cop.
Oh, God.
She shoot her own partner. Every time anything happens, she starts firing at the car.
They have a van, Glenn. No.
A van is a type of car.
I know, I was just being a bitch.
So she says that she wants the way that she meets a guy to be magical and serendipitous, and she has
word around.
Just download Tinder, lady. Jesus Christ! For whatever 50-year-old women use on, what is it, Hinge or Play a Fish? What are the fuck? Just download one of them.
She's 32, okay.
But they, I mean, they always, wait, once a woman's 30 in a movie, they're like, she's 70, she's an old woman, she's never gonna get married again.
Well, that, again, I've talked to Holly, this is kind of a weird theme, is a lot of these movies feature women in their 30s who have never been married and, like, have a terrible dating life. And usually in small towns, I'm just going to say it, people are at least have, like, two or three marriages under their belt by the time they're, like, in their mid-30s.
Or at least a kid.
Or at least a kid. Anyway, so she goes and tries to steal a star off of a Christmas tree that she finds.
No, so I think this
She was adjusting it.
She was adjusting it, but I think it's the police station. She's like, oh, I just popped into the station real quick. And it's an empty-ass police station.
As yeah, because they close at 10 o'clock. It's Canadian police. They just, like, stop doing it at 10. They're like,
I'm so confused.
No more crimes till the morning, eh?
She's like, she says the words, I'm going into the station real quick, because she was on the phone with Reed or her mom or whatever the fuck. She fixes the star, but it's, like, completely empty. There's no one in there. The lights are basically all off.
That's why they called her. They're like, hey, the tree star at the station is Justin. We know you love Christmas. You go over there and fix it.
Probably. She, like, keeps her eye on the trees so she can, like, fuck with them and touch them all the time. But I know I'm, like, saying this before you get to it, but then what the dude catches her because she's about to fall when she's adjusting the tree. What the fuck is he doing in there? If he hates cops so goddamn much, why is he in an empty-ass cop station?
Just in case.
I know it said he was, like, looking for the mixer, but, like, what the fuck is he doing there? This
was
is a pothole. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like the station was next door to the singles mixer coffee shop.
There's this big old hole, and I want it filled, preferably with Carson.
Wait, what if that's his job? What if he's, like, a security guy?
He can't be a security guy, look that hot, and not have a hat on.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, what if he's an attorney?
Attorney?
An attorney? Like a lawyer man?
No, because he wouldn't have had cops on his dick.
Okay, what if he was a receptionist?
I bet he was something like an electrician or a plumber or some dumb shit.
What if he was like an elevator operator? Do they still have those?
What if he was a model?
Okay, that makes the most sense. a 9-to-5 model.
Yeah.
Kind of punch the clock out, stop being hot.
Just turn into like an ogre.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm only hot. The people are like, oh, you're a model, be hot right now. It's like, oh, I don't do that. I don't like that. If you want to see me be hot, just hire me.
I've Shrek'd into an ogre right now, so I can't do it.
So, yeah, I guess he catches her, and it's cute and serendipitous, and he says the word serendipitous, and she, like, freaks out, because she's like, that's what the word I just said a second ago. Did you also use Google and type in synonyms? So, yeah, she acts super awkward and desperate the whole time. I also feel like, so the introduction to him, it was weird lighting, but it just seemed like his hair was just trying to, like, take over his face from both angles. You know what I'm saying? Because his hairline's really low and his beard's really dark.
Yeah.
And, like, the most you can see is, like, his nose.
Yeah, he has a hairy head.
His eyes are, like, covered by his heavy brow. That was just my first impression of this man and how he looked. But, you know, he's super sweet and has a really cute smile.
Also, he's very hot and tall.
Hot and tall.
He catches falling women. Love it.
I love doing that. I'm always just, like, standing near ladies on ladders.
You're just, like, waiting to, like,
catch them. I'm kicking the ladder so it falls. Well, I caught you. Do you want to go on a date? She's like, I saw you kicking the ladder.
And then you're like, serendipitous. And she's like, uh-huh.
She's like, whatever. You're ugly anyway. Oh. Whatever. Fuck this. I didn't even want to go on a date with you.
So, oh yeah, so she gets texts and then runs away without getting his number because she's dumb. And then meets her partner in the van and she takes off her heels Because he's like, oh, you're wearing heels? You dumb bitch. And then
they takes off her heels. You're right. I kind of didn't notice it because it's normal to me to talk to people like that.
No, they're just like constantly rude to her.
Nice heels, dumbass.
And then they don't talk about this, but she like takes off her heels while she's in the van. And then he's like, all right, go get that perp. And so she just like exits the van without shoes on.
What a weird lady.
She's so awkward.
She's just like so quirky and awkward. I think she played it pretty well though. I believed it.
She played it funny. She played it like, it was weird. It was almost like, it felt like almost like a Dumb and Dumber amount of the way she was, like she was doing good at it, but it didn't make sense in the movie. It would be like if Jim Carrey was in Love Actually. Like, it felt like that. Like, I didn't get it.
She was real goof. You know, I could see her in some, like, actual comedy series.
Yeah, it seems like she's funny. I think it would work.
So she catches the man, and then we see that she has a, like, a Cali king-size bed, but only sleeps on, like, a quarter of it, like an idiot. Sorry, that was, like, a...
Oof. I was so jealous of her bed every time it popped up. So big.
It's gigantic. I've got a king size bed. Whenever I'm sleeping by myself, I sleep in the middle of that bitch.
Yeah, you sleep in the middle if you're in a king size bed alone.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You want
to feel I like sleep diagonally.
Oh, diagonal's a good move.
Yeah, that's no, the
I'm sideways, diagonal. Just totally yep. in the wrong way.
You can do any of the ways.
We have a king size bed, and as soon as Derek gets out, my body like shifts. And I'm just diagonal. He's like, what the fuck? I was like, you got up. You had to pee or whatever you had to do. Bye. I bet no.
And she goes into work the next day. I guess. Oh, and this has really bothered me too. Glenn, this is something that I do every episode is just roast the shit out of what they're wearing. She wears a romper. Okay. Like an overall romper with a collared shirt and a jacket. How does this lady go pee?
Just like probably very badly. She just pisses herself. She's later, always walking around pissing herself.
Later, like in later scenes, her mom roasts her. She's like, what the fuck are you wearing? Overalls? Are you a toddler?
Like, I know.
Wouldn't it be funny if her mom was like Rodney Dangerfield? That would have made this movie really good.
That would have made that.
Or like Don Rickles. That's the better one. Don Rickles is going in on her.
Yeah, because I had wrote that she looked like a toddler before her mom even mentioned it, and I was like, thank God. Thank God.
Oh man, I wish we had Joan Rivers back, because Joan Rivers would have just tore her outfits apart.
Oh my God, that would have been so bad.
I love it. Yeah, I definitely want to channel that spirit with me at all times. Also, we're introduced to the FBI agent Robertson, Special Agent Robertson, and she hates Christmas and religion, and she wants them to tail Carson Mills, who is a reindeer diamond stealer, a diamond reindeer stealer, because this diamond reindeer was worth $3 million.
It's a diamond reindeer.
Like, when they first said diamond...
It's the dumbest thing they could have said. It could have been like the star that goes on top of the tree covered in diamonds.
Like a diamond,
would
yeah.
Would have made more sense.
I didn't know what they meant by diamond reindeer. Like, I thought it was just like, I thought it would be like, you know, like a, maybe a cat size, like the size of a cat. Like kind of reindeer statue, but it was like a little brooch.
Like, yeah, it's. I think it was just like a tiny statue. Like it was just like a waste of diamonds. Like somebody's like
$30 million for that.
Somebody's like fifth grade project who had too much money, just like gluing shit together.
Grandma's lapel pin is $30 million. Jesus.
Was it really a lapel pin?
No, but it looked that tiny.
It did look like it.
It's super tiny. So he's 32. I don't know why their age kept popping up in this one.
They do keep bringing it up. They're like, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm 31. They just keep doing that.
I'm not really sure why, but it's fun. It's like a thin premise of the FBI agent being like, well, we need local law enforcement involved in this because of reasons.
Yeah, they're like, they already called in the FBI. Yeah, that is true. They don't usually work together. It becomes an FBI thing.
Yeah, wouldn't the FBI just do it? But I understand that she needed the cops' resources, blah, 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 blah. But, like,
they can just take those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I also have so many fucking questions about, like, why didn't she just steal the damn diamond herself? She's got a safe cracker. Why didn't they just break into storage?
The perfect crime.
Yeah, that's right. Because he had a storage. There was like a lot of stuff. But yeah, her explanation, the FBI agent's explanation, was that the FBI was spread thin.
That's true. The federal government has a really hard time spending money on stuff like law enforcement. They're usually really starving for money. They need to go to local police departments to start using their money. The FBI is always like, we wish we could solve this crime, but we're too poor. putting their Venmo on the FBI Instagram page.
This is what Canadians think of the like American government. We're too poor.
Oh my god. Oh man, Canada must be a nice place to live if it weren't so cold. So they decide to rent the house across the street from where Carson is living. And it's decorated and it's real cute. I don't know who went and decorated it, but whoever did, it was real cute. And she apparently likes him a lot after meeting him for like 3 seconds. And they're like, ooh, you like him. She's like, no, I don't. They're like, yeah, you do. He's like, no. It's like, you met him for 3 seconds, but that's okay. And he calls her because he finds her number from her friend who owns the coffee shop, whose name is Ken. And he's like, oh, I'm not a stalker, but I got your phone number. And he wants to go on a date. And instead of saying yes or no, she hangs up and freaks out because she's awkward and quirky.
I wanted to punch her in the fucking head for just hanging up.
Yeah, that was rude. It's rude.
I mean, like, I have been always awkward with dudes, but like,
my job for a living is to cold call people, like, but businesses, but like people who, you know, could potentially actually benefit from the things that I'm saying. If somebody hangs up on me, I don't give a crap. I'm going to call them back because that is rude. And I'll just be like, excuse me, yeah. I'm so sorry. I think we got disconnected. What I was saying was like, tell me no to my face, bitch. Like, I'm not going to accept you just hanging up on me like I'm a freaking robot. Do I sound like a robot? No, I do not.
Do you want to go out?
Hang up. Rude.
Click.
Rude. Anyway, so then the FBI lady orders her to go on a date with him. So now she has to call him back.
So let me interject and with a question. What is the weirdest way someone has called to ask you out?
I can tell you the weirdest way that I've ever been asked out, which
I've never been called to be asked out.
Yeah, I don't think I
have.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell my story.
So, I was just set up for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I gave this guy my number, and he was cool. This was when I was in college. He called me like a couple days later, and he's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, going good. What's up? He's like, hey, I was wondering if you could drive to Walmart. I was like, what?
Respect, what? Dude. Dude's rock.
No. And I said no, and then I hung up on him.
Are you sure he was asking you out?
Well, like, he did the thing where he, like, asked for my number, and he was, like, being, like, nice, and then, I don't know, he's probably just using me for my car. But I said no.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to pay for my groceries, so no.
I mean, you should have asked him that. It's like, well, where are we going afterwards? To the Walmart McDonald's?
I did have a guy stop me in, that Restaurant Depot store. He was like working there, and he's like, hey, can I assist you with anything? I was like, nah, man, unless you want to pay for these groceries. I was just joking. And he's like, all right, I will. Give me your number. And I was like, no, I'm engaged. I gotta go. Bye.
Oh, hot.
And I was like, damn, I should have just let him pay for my groceries.
Yeah, that's a dumb move. You should have just let that dude have it.
But like, they were for the business I worked for.
Oh, so. Yeah.
That is kind of hot, though. Like, don't buy me dinner. Buy me groceries.
Yeah, buy me 5 dinners.
Feed me for a week
worth of lunch and dinner. Yeah.
Be sure to pick up peanut butter and paper towels. Yeah, so they decide to go on a date. Oh, I was going to talk about really quickly, the most fun way I ever got asked out was when I was a bicycle taxi driver in New Orleans. There was this bicycle delivery guy who I kept seeing around who was really cute. And we hadn't talked. We had just exchanged little glances here and there. And then I was on my pedicab. I was just sitting outside of a store or whatever. And he comes by and he stops and without a word, just hands me this little package. And then gets back on his bike and dings his little bell and bikes away. And I'm like, what? And I open the package and it's a ninja star with his number on it.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Or a threat. He's like, this is only one. You know they don't come in sets of one. You know you gotta buy five of these, dude.
It was engraved or it was stickered on?
Oh my god, it was engraved with his number.
Engraved?
No, it wasn't engraved. Oh my god, no, that would be a lot. No, not for a bicycle guy. But he had a little card taped onto it.
Fucking awesome.
That was cool. That was real cool. We did it for a year and a half after that. Anyway, so she decides to go on this date, calls him back, and then the mom tells her how hideous she is and how bad her clothes are. And for some reason, both her mom and her partner are rooting for her to get into his apartment and have sex with him.
Mm-hmm. I would also be rooting for her to do that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's a sex positive mom.
He's super fucking hot.
True. And it is strange how the mom the entire time is yeah, I should catch him, but he's also really cute and good for you. But you should also catch him because he's a criminal. But also, this is kind of working. She kind of flip-flops a lot.
I know.
Because I think the mom part of her is and then the cop part of her is no.
I can tell you what I would have done with that perp.
Well, what have you done?
I would have been okay, I'll pretend, wink, wink, date him. And I would just bang the information out of him.
Oh, nice. All right, Holly. You should be an undercover cop.
I should be an undercover cop.
So, yeah. So they decide to wiretap the house and put cameras up in case she gets murdered or whatever.
Is that legal?
I don't think so. I think you need a hardcore warrant for that.
Yeah, I think so.
And
inside the house?
Inside the house.
Yeah, I think that's legal.
And they go in wearing fake worker clothes and the logo is just a wrench. Look at me, I'm a worker. There's a wrench on my shirt. And his house is also super Christmassy. And she's like, oh, he also likes Christmas and Christmas decorations. And she sees these little ornaments that she's also likes a lot and looks at them longingly and whatever. Then her mom's like, yo, bitch, you've got the date in 2 hours. You need to get ready. She says the phrase, you better shake your reindeer tail.
Ugh, that's so gross.
And then there, Jessica, her friend, helps her dress for her date, which is a whole montage of dressing in different outfits and making silly faces, which I am a huge fan of.
It would be funny if it was all just different Santa costumes. That would have been just different eras of Santa.
That would have been way better. I normally like that clothes changing montage, but I hated this one. She had she was getting ready for a date. She had a sailor outfit and then some Tiger King skirt. Or whatever the hell was. I hated it.
Yeah, she didn't have good clothes. So you're right. It was lackluster in terms of the clothes, but I like looking at her goofy face. I think she's got a pretty goofy face.
She does have a goofy face. She was cute and charming, but
I get it. But anyway.
Opposite end from you.
They finally find the dress, which is honestly should have been their very first pick from the beginning, which is a red date dress.
Yeah.
That's a velvety material, they slap a jacket on that bitch with a purse. I don't know. This is a whole thing. Yeah, it looks good. It's a pretty standard Christmas date dress.
Yeah.
And they even have to Skype in their gay best friend to have him consult on this of oh yes, you need to wear a red dress to this date.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye. They decide to go on the date. She's super duper late and she still has to stop at the van and talk to her mom, and there's a locket
with a camera. Yeah, she got a locket with a camera and then an earbud.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was pretty useless. She could have just they could have just gave it to her and she could have walked in, because she was really late for her date, and that's really rude.
super late. And he was just like he was there by himself, like looking like super sad and like lonely, and he like helps a lady with her purse or whatever. So they finally like go on the date, and they're finally like down, sitting down and like eating breadsticks and drinking wine, and she's like, it's like, oh, it's so nice to be here. It's so nice to, you know, be on this date with you. So your ex-wife, and like immediately goes into interrogating him, like without any sort of like, you know, interrogation foreplay here, yeah. You know?
I would not. Oh man. Right off the bat, you don't ask about exes on the first date.
Oh yeah. Jeez. Uh-uh. Yeah. That is second or third date situation. But yeah, she goes immediately into it, which would make, honestly, like if somebody asked me on a first date, like, oh, so tell me about all the dudes you've ever banged. And I was like, oh man, how many days do you have for me to. So anyway, he is kind of like flimsy in his answer, because
yeah, a very awkward date.
Awkward thing to watch. Then we like, there's an entire scene where we just spend way too much time just like watching her partner eat cookies in a van.
I think it's stupid because they did that to set up that he pushed a button. He set a cookie tin right on the keyboard of a laptop.
Yeah, but they just like, they like spent like a minute and a half of him just enjoying a cookie. It was fucking weird. They are still doing the date, and he's like, yeah, my ex was lying to him. And he was like, my friends encouraged me to go on this date. They're really good friends. Also, he mentioned his friends several times. We never see any of these friends or where he works.
Friends? I want to see his hot friends.
It's interesting that the whole movie is about like gathering information on him, and we don't know his basic information.
Yeah, the only thing about him is that he's divorced. That's the only thing they figured out. Like, they're like, what do we know about this guy? He's divorced. That's all we know.
Yeah, even if it's like a kind of a rude question to ask, the most typical question people ask on a first date is, what do you do for work?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
It's like, so what, do? What do you do for work? How do you make your money? Are you a viable partner?
Yeah, it's like almost like, should we go Dutch? Are you going to be paying? Am I going to be paying? Yeah, I think I went on a date one time with a guy who was an attorney, and it was a single situation. And then when the bill came, I don't make as much as you, this is yours.
I went on a date with a guy, and we went to a Barnes & Noble Starbucks. And then all I got was a tea, because I don't really drink caffeine. And then he talked about the girl that he had a crush on that had a restraining order on him.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You just talk about that openly? You offer that information?
He did.
That's what happened on you and Derek's first date?
No. Derek and our first date, I guess technically he brought me to a bunch of open mics, and then I was like, are you hitting on me? And he was like, no. And I was like, all right, bye. Bye.
So anyway, this movie.
This is where he like quotes Ferris Bueller, and she's like, oh my God, did you quote Ferris Bueller at me?
It's like, oh, and then the mom like kind of swoons a little bit, and she's like, oh, he likes Christmas and 80s movies. Oh, get the towels.
I hope he fucks my daughter.
leave the locket on if you have sex with him. We want to see it.
Yeah.
They're giving her tips while they're having sex. Like, don't do it. Don't do it like that. Say more stuff about it.
Get a pillow underneath your lower back for a better angle. That's also a sweet tip for anybody out there. That works. Yeah. Anyway, so they have like, so we like, they're walking across, down the street after the date, and he calls her super weird, and they like are like up against the van,
mm-hmm.
and they're like an almost kiss moment happens.
I know, so irritated.
And then something crashes, and then there's like a second almost kiss that happens, and she's like, oh, are we moving too fast? And he's like, yeah, I guess so, fine, I'll leave. And she's like, cool, I'm gonna talk about you at a coffee shop nearby. And he's like, okay, cool, bye.
I was so frustrated with, like, he didn't even kiss her on the cheek. Even when she arrived at the dinner date, they just awkwardly hugged. And then when he was saying goodbye, they just hugged. Like, he didn't even kiss her on the cheek. She kisses her friends on the cheek. Why wouldn't he, like, kiss her on the, God damn it.
I agree.
He's so hot, but so dumb. I love him like that.
I will in fact initiate an almost kiss countdown because there are 5 total.
Really? I only caught
5 total almost kisses.
Wow. I'm so glad you're into details.
So the first 2 almost kisses, these are the first 2, which are both super frustrating. And then I guess the next morning, she's spying on him, doing his morning routine, shirtless in a towel.
Yes.
Homegirl just needs to calm down. Like, at the same time, I get it. He's hot. He's got his thing going on.
He does.
He has a lot of arms. Mm-hmm. I feel like his upper body isn't in the same proportion as his lower body. He's kind of got like a Johnny Bravo thing happening.
Yeah, he's got like a swimmer's body.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I don't know. I like a guy with like a big ass, you know?
I like a athletic build.
Big ass. Like
thick athletic builds and dumb. I like him dumb.
No, I don't. Just like a big butted dude, you know? Just like a nice little cherry bomb. Just like grab your little hands in that tush, you know what I'm saying?
Big booty duty.
Big booty duty. Yeah. Anyway, so the blah 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 FBI agent threatens her again and says go on a second date. So they decide to go on a coffee shop date, and we discover that her gay friend is also super bad at lying.
Mm-hmm.
They're both just really, she's just like really bad at lying the whole time. He asks for a black coffee, and then Ken goes and gets him some mocha choco latte.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, frappa.
That was a long name. I was about to write it down, and I was like, no, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, it's like, this is not what he ordered, first of all. And second of all, he like didn't even drink it.
Didn't she ask him about his ex again?
Yeah, like right off the bat. Like she had to cover something up, which was like, should have been super suspicious from the beginning, because he asked Ken, like, oh, how did you two meet? He was like, oh, well, after she got out of the academy. He was like, oh, what academy? And she's like, Space Academy. It's like, that, you should have, you didn't, there was like a hint there.
Why did she just hide? Why did she hide that she was a cop? He could have just told her that she could have just told him that she was a cop.
Well, she thought he was a criminal.
Well, like, so? If he was innocent, then he wouldn't have cared.
But she didn't think that he was innocent.
But he thought he was innocent.
Anyway, so yeah, so she like hammers him immediately about the wife, and he's like, well, I used to have real sketchy friends who stole stuff. And then actually he points out that it's weird that she's never been married, which is nice.
Also, I don't understand why like he would talk about his like quote unquote criminal past and before he had sex with her.
That's what I do on first dates.
You just get it out of the way. You're like, hey, this is my criminal past.
I just say I'm a criminal. Would you like to have sex? That's usually what I say.
Does it work?
No. I'm striking out all the time.
Okay.
Guys, okay, so you want to hear something real bad?
Yeah. Oh, I love. Is it juicy? Is it spicy?
I mean, a little bit. I was, you know, my younger, spicier days. I met a fella in a hot tub while I wasn't wearing any clothes, and he told me that he was a cat burglar, and that is what he did to make money. And I had sex with him. I had very, very good sex with him.
You fell for it.
I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
He burgled your kitty.
He burgled. But not my heart. It's fine. We still keep up on social media. Apparently, he got out of the cat burgling game.
Oh, was he a safecracker / document forger now? Oh, you have to think about it.
Honestly, I don't know. He is a wild card. So then there's this guy, a sketchy guy, is like lingering outside and like sees home dude. And he's like, oh, it's a guy I know. And she's like, oh no. He's like, just one of the sketchy guys I know is kind of friends with my wife. And then the police who's hearing all these things is like, oh, that's the famous safecracker. He like comes in there all sketchy like, and he's like, huh, I'm in town for business, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And then he's like, no, get out of here. And then homegirl is like, yeah, get out of here. And then they're both like, get out of here. And guy's like, I guess I should get out of here. So it's kind of a nice moment where they're both just like laying down the law or laying down the outlaw.
Oh, I like how she threatens. She's like, hey, is it going to get physical? I want a piece of that action. Like, she's going to fucking beat him up.
I mean,
good for her.
But then he gets all squirreled out. The what's the main dude's name?
Carson.
Carson. I was going to say Chevy for some reason. Carson gets all squirreled out and then leaves. And then she's ordered to go on another date with him. So yeah, so none of these dates are her own volition. It's the FBI lady who just keeps forcing her to go into more dates. They go on another date at his place. He tells her a story about his dead mom and that he likes Christmas and there's ornaments. And he's like, oh, there's an ornament that I made, I think. Was it one that he made or his mom made?
I think he painted it with his mom. Yeah, he painted it for his mom or something.
Yeah, so it's like a glass ornament that he painted with his mom. There's a fake-out kiss number 3 happens. I don't know why this one got interrupted, but it was basically zero reason. Then she keeps pressing about the wife, like, while they're, like, sitting down to dinner, like, in his place. Mm-hmm. And then he just spills everything out. Like, he is just like, yeah, my wife sucked. Like, I used to be in that game, and I was getting out of it, and then she got in the game hardcore, organized this whole heist about this reindeer, got a bunch of the friends involved. They did the whole thing. Then she just left when there was some heat on her. And then he was like, oh, that's the first person I've ever told that to. And she's like, oh, but she's also like, oh yeah, that's my job as cop. Okay.
I would not tell someone I'm dating all this like background information before kissing them or before getting intimate or physical with them.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah. That was a whole thing. But
it's a PG movie, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so we basically discover the wife did the whole thing. You know, I feel like that all that information should have exonerated him up top. And then he gets a phone call, and he, like, leaves the room. And for some reason, the police can't trace the call or know who it is. So she, like, tries to, like, spy on it, and he's, like, comes back. She's like, oh, like, oh, who was that? Oh, it's so weird. You got to call this late. She's like, yeah, that was my ex-wife telling me that you're a fucking cop.
She should have just admitted she was a cop.
Isn't that illegal? Isn't that a legal thing?
That's not a that thing if you have to tell them you're a cop.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. No.
Why did I think that's a thing?
Because people always say it. People are like, oh, legally you have to tell me if you're a cop. That's not a thing. They can totally just be like, I'm not a cop.
What?
Yeah, they don't have to tell you.
Who made that up?
I don't know. It's just in movies. That's the only time I've seen it.
Huh. I don't know. Hold on.
Cops legally have to tell you that they are a cop? Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I believe you that it was no.
Wait, is it yes or no?
No, yeah, they do not have to tell you that they're cops.
They don't. Okay.
Ugh. Then, okay. But there's also like a term entrapment. So a police cannot persuade you to commit a crime. So maybe that's where that kind of came from, I guess. Anyway, so this is an entrapment. So she tries to tell him that she is not a cop. And he's like, come on, be honest with me. She's like, okay, I am a cop, but I like you a lot. And then and she's actually like super, like to her credit, she's super upfront with him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, this is exactly how it started. This is how it tumbled out. I'm really sorry. I still like you a lot. And then he throws her out. Because, you know, obvious reasons. And there's a whole sad montage. FBI agent's super mad, even though they have all of the information, you know, that the FBI would possibly need. And then they're put on, like, administrative leave. There's more sad montage.
Yeah, why are they put on administrative leave? Like, the only explanation they had was Reed was like, oh, it's for the optics. What does that mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why they're put on leave.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's for the optics. Is it just because, like, hey, you kind of, like, to make your boss look good, we're going to put you on leave because you kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's probably that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they're put on some sort of leave because I guess she is fucked up because he found out that she was a cop.
Yeah, but that wasn't her fault. But it was her fault that she like spilled her guts. Like, yeah, we've been watching you. Blah 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 blah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and then her friends and her family neg her instead of comforting her, and instead of complimenting her, they're just like, "Well, this is just another one of your things, you dumb bitch."
Can't date. They should have just bought her a date, like rented a gigolo.
I mean, seriously.
I don't know if that's how you say it, but gigolo.
Isn't this when she sees the guy get, like, the safecracker guy go in the house? Isn't it, like, while she's on leave?
Yes. But the thing is, I have a question. So she's looking outside of her apartment window, right?
I think she's packing up the house that they were renting out for the stakeout.
I thought they already packed up, though.
Maybe she left some ornaments?
But yeah, I was really confused. I was like, why is she, like... How can she see Carson's house? I thought they already packed up. Why is she there still? She's on a leave. Like, she has to take that immediately.
Reasons?
Oh, man. Maybe it's that Deus Ex Machina shit.
Yeah. So, and she just, yeah, she sees the sketchy safecracker guy, you know, lurking around. And she's like, oh, no, and runs down there and looks in the window and then sees that a home dude is like on the floor face down.
Okay, so I do have a question. What's the safecracker doing there if there's no safe?
He went there to shoot him, I think.
I feel like he's more like a Renaissance criminal instead of just like a one crime pony. You know what I'm saying? I think they're like labeling him. You think they shot him?
Yeah, right. Did they say he was shot? Or wasn't he shot?
Hit over the head or some shit.
They don't.
Something happened to him.
But he was also unresponsive. So she goes up to him and like snaps her fingers in both of his ears, and he like doesn't like he like she like shakes him and like checks his pulse and like snaps. He's like completely unresponsive. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, "Oh, I got you a present." It's like, all right.
Oh yeah.
And anyway, so I guess. Then we find out that, and so then Bethany comes, I guess, okay, sneaky safecracker guy is all like, ooh, I'm super sketchy. And she's like, I know that you're sketchy. And then Special Agent Robertson comes in. She's like, oh, guess what? I'm not FBI. Your mom's dumb, and I'm Bethany. And also, I stole that reindeer, and I went through all of this so I could find out where that reindeer was, even though I was the one who hid it in the first place. And I just came here to get it.
That makes no sense.
And she went through a lot of trouble.
She did go through a lot of trouble. All she had to do was just either break into a storage unit or break into his house. And she had the cops break into his house already for him to put all those cameras up. She could have been like, hey, let me go with you to put up those cameras. And she could have looked around for the fucking ornament. If not, she could have gone to the storage unit, used the safecracker guy to open the storage unit. But no.
But then that story wouldn't happen.
Yeah, we had to have a whole fucking movie about it.
A whole movie. So, yeah, I guess she... So the glass ornament that him and his mom crafted, she breaks it open to reveal the reindeer is inside of it.
How did she...
So like, it implies that he, like, made that with his mom, like, a year ago. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't say it was stolen 30 years ago. It was stolen, that it was inside his childhood thing. Like, it definitely seems like he made that, like, that year.
It's like some ship in a bottle dumb shit. Like, how did the reindeer get in the thing if she had to break it to get it out?
Maybe. No idea.
I don't know. Maybe she just broke it to get it out. She got it, like, in, like, a cool way. Inside in a cool way, but then she like broke it to get it out because it was quicker, and she's like a bitch and she wanted to ruin childhood memories.
Oh yeah, but that is also Christmas. Doubly rude.
It's yeah, like it's Christmas, so
yeah, and religion, so which makes her a villain. So you know, and then they're like, oh no, Bethany won, and she's and like immediately the problem goes away. It's like they're I thought it was at least gonna be like a final battle of some sort.
Yeah, like a cool like. Where, you know, in The Mummy Returns, where those two bitches fight. I thought it'd be like that.
Yeah, like like gunslinging, like I'm a cop and you're a criminal, like pow pow pow, it's good to know, pow. But then it's like immediately like the mom is like, I got you, bitch.
Yeah, or like she would have like shittily kicked the gun out of her hand and did a really bad cartwheel.
None of that happened. It wasn't an action movie at all. They just like slowly walked in. We're like, we've got you surrounded. And then she was like, Mom, how'd you know that I was here? She's like, a mom just knows. And she's like, no, really? She's like, well, your partner called. And
did she still have the necklace on?
No. Like, there was no reason that they should have known that they were there.
Ugh, weird.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense either. But like it's like your partner called. It's like, cool. How did he find out? Anyway.
That's what the last thing I remember in the movie. I really don't remember how the movie ended.
Well, while he's laying down, he gives her a gift of like a little
that moment to give her a gift. He's like dying and he's like, hand me that. He's like, no, not the piece of broken ornament, the gift I want to give you because you came to rescue me. Why did he pick that moment to give her a goddamn gift?
It's also so funny that he's like, hand me that, here you go.
So it's a cute little Mrs. Claus ornament, and then I guess her mom's like, hey, go get that booty.
Yeah.
And then she goes outside to the ambulance, and then she's all like,
he has a concussion. He doesn't even know who she is anymore.
Oh, man, then they would have had to make a second movie, Glenn.
Oh.
You don't want that.
Oh, no. Christmas Catch 2. Too hard, too Christmas.
Justin G. Dick is going to be all over that shit.
Oh, God. So, so we get there's almost kiss number 5. This is our countdown is complete to 5 almost kisses, which are all very, very frustrating. Then her mother interrupts her with something very loud and obnoxious and unnecessary, like, yeah, you should invite him to dinner. Oh my God, actually, have you ever seen Mulan, in that last scene in Mulan?
Mm-hmm. When the grandma.
Yeah. It's like, or he's like, where she's like, oh, would you like to stay for dinner? And the grandma in the background's like, would you like to stay forever?
Yeah.
It's like,
I like to imagine the mom yelling, she's like about to kiss, she's like, you're dressed really bad, by the way. You look terrible and you're never gonna get married. Go get him, Tiger.
You look like a toddler, you dumb bitch.
He's out of your league, but cool.
Don't kiss her, pussy's trash. Why do you think she hasn't been married? Oh. Is your mom yelling that at you?
Oh, God. So, yeah, so I guess she kind of invited him to Christmas. And then they finally kiss, and that is the last thing that we see. And it's just like a super deflated moment.
Yeah, it just ends.
It just ends.
It just ends.
Just as mysteriously as it begins, the movie just ends.
All right. I liked that kiss, though. It was a 4, because I saw a little bit of tongue, and I was like, yeah, la 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 la, yes.
I mean, so they're both real hot. Mm-hmm. And that automatically garners 2 points. Everything about the kiss was awful. Lighting, situation, emotional. Like, there was like the opposite of heart flutters. It was just like a pit in my stomach of disappointment.
Really? I had that like smirk emoji on face on. I was like, there's a little bit of tongue.
No, that was a solid two
turtle doves. Mine was 4 calling birds. What did you rate that kiss, Glenn?
It's the song ones, right? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it's 1 through 5.
What's the one for number 1? I hiss.
Partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, I give it 1 partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah,
that's fair. I mean,
yeah. I can't in good conscience give it anything more than that. I know it's like a fake rating system, but I feel like it will end up somewhere.
I mean, you're not wrong. But yeah, I think that's that about wraps her up. Like a nice little Christmas bow. Yeah. Nice little Christmas present.
Did you notice that in the beginning of the movie, in the beginning credits, all the ornaments on the tree were cop ornaments?
Oh, yeah. There was like a little, like a siren-y light. as the star.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
The final thought.
The final thought. Do you have final thoughts, Glenn?
I just wish I didn't watch this movie.
Now, when I was thinking for guests, I was like, who can I ask to watch this really awful movie about a criminal? Glenn!
Glenn's basically a criminal.
Yeah, basically. I'm a jewel thief, actually. This is the perfect movie for me.
Have you seen a bejeweled reindeer?
No.
Oh my god, Quinn just winked.
Yeah, that is, oh. Was it no one a wink?
Oh yeah, I forgot no one can see this. Wink.
It's fine, you know, we'll recruit your partner to somehow
to beat me.
Become a detective and catch you.
My partner would be like Jake Rowe. Can you imagine Jake Rowe trying to investigate anything?
He'd just like play a saxophone at it.
He's just in the evidence room the whole time. He's just doing all the drugs in the evidence room.
Yeah, doing it right.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, Jake, I gave Jake my Disney Plus password so he could watch Hamilton with his family. And like all of my family members have like a profile, and he inserted himself into my family and he made him his own profile. It's Simba, and he's got Jakester. That's his name. I was like, this motherfucker.
He rocks, dude.
he said he would play a saxophone at my wedding. He doesn't play saxophone very well.
Oh, no.
No, he's not very good at it.
No, but
I sing opera if you want an opera singer at your wedding.
Opera.
I wanted my dream for like my wedding like reception was to have like all of our comic friends do like 2 minutes and just like toast us or do something for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
That's cute.
That would have been a lot of people calling us fat.
That would have been a lot. It would have been a lot of that. At least for me, that would have been a heavy 2 minutes for me.
Well, it's a heavy minute for all of my
kids. Wait, was that? Oh my god.
Every minute's a heavy minute for me, Glenn. Anyway, yeah, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell people about? Anywhere people can find you and give you things?
Just on Twitter, it's at Porn University. That's really all I.
Is that really your Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's it's that.
Porn University?
Yeah, PORN and then University.
I just got back on Twitter today. Oh. For the first time in like 2 years, almost 3 years.
Whoa.
And I changed my handle to my 12-year-old AIM. Messenger name,
which is
Kitty Litter 918.
No way, you had Kitty in yours? Was it KITTIE?
No, it was KITTY Litter 918. I did not own a cat growing up.
Oh, I was obsessed with the band.
You just like getting shit on by cats?
I was obsessed with the band Kitty, so my AIM screen name was Kitty Fight, but like Fight was spelled FYTE because it was very, very cool.
No, I just like kitties in theory.
From a distance.
Kitty litter?
I don't know. Anyway, that was a side note. I accidentally plugged myself, but that was most supposed to be like a fun side note.
I'll plug us. Our Twitter is at NetflixmasPod, Instagram at NetflixmasPodcast, Facebook.com/NetflixmasPodcast, and Patreon.com/NetflixmasPodcast. And I believe this episode will be going out to our patrons on October 16th, and it will be released on Spotify, Google, and Apple, maybe Amazon, on November 11th. So if you're listening to this and it's after November 11th, you could have listened to it early if you just paid us $2. Also, I made some really cute ornaments for patrons. Glenn's gonna get one. Look how cute these are.
Oh.
Where?
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
I made these. So Glenn's going to get one for being a guest, and then patrons get one just for signing up, because I love giving people gifts. So
she does. She's really good at it.
Pretty good. But yeah.
Yay.
Subscribe. Listen. Whatever.
And most importantly, have a very merry Netflix mess. Nailed it.
We're never gonna get it.